Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Broncos fans, and welcome to this week's episode of Broncos Weekly. As always, I'm Mitch, and I'm joined on the line by our good friend, Simo. How you doing, Simo?
Not bad, you?
Mate, I'm coping. That's where I'm at now.
It's also more like this month's episode, but you know.
Hey, we recorded like 2 weeks ago. That's like, you know.
Yeah, but that was in August.
Yeah, we won't have to rebrand in the off-season. We've been doing fortnightly, pretty much. We had that 1 week with 2 episodes. We're here. The point is we're here. But anyway, we are back. You're back playing touch, mate. How'd that go earlier? We didn't actually talk about that yet off mic.
No, we won like 16 to bugger all, really. I forget, but
it was heaps to not many.
Yeah, and we threw an intercept. It was the first try they scored towards the end of the second half. And then I think they got a couple others. We just got slack. But yeah, we got a bloke. I'm not sure. He wouldn't be much off this, but when he was at his peak, he ran the 100 in like 11 flat or something. Like, and he wouldn't be far off that either, like when he was wearing proper shoes and on a track and that, like really quick bloke. But and then their winger was this guy that looks like straight out of a British pub fight scene in like a football hooligans movie. Just absolute beer gut on the man, and just like, I mean, I could have burnt him around the wing, but this guy Adam just every time he touched the ball was straight around the outside. So it's good fun to score a few tries. I set up my brother with a flick pass. You know, we're having a giggle.
Another day at the office, mate.
Yep. So just boosting that for and against. It's not, we've let in a few too many tries. It's not like that season we had like a 700% for and against or something, but you know, it's not bad.
Anyway, let's get into some Broncos news. We'll actually talk about the last game, the next game as well, and do questions. But, let's start with some easy stuff. Let's do injury updates. So we're confirmed, if people didn't know, Milford's ruled out for the season, which is, I know everyone's been off his season, but it's upsetting for me because I do think we kind of need him to try and jag one of his last wins to avoid the spoon. I wanted to see him play against the Titans or Cowboys. Anyway, Milford's out. We already knew Matt Lodge is out for the year, but he is ruled out for the year again. Tom Flegler's confirmed out for the year. And then they've also updated that Tessie New is with the rehab group and Jake Turpin's with the rehab group and Jack Bird is running. So I don't know, does that mean if Jack Bird's going to play this year? Probably not. But the ones we need, we really do need Turpin back, if you ask me. We just got Glenn back and we just got Coates back and Oates back. So, but I do really think we need Turpin back before that round 20 spoon bowl potential.
I mean, don't play Jack Bird. If he's fit, tell everyone he's fit and ship him off somewhere else. Don't get him re-injured. Yeah, I love Milford, but that's a shame. I do need Turpin back. He's just a footballer. He makes things happen for us.
Yeah.
I don't have too much else to talk about injuries.
That's it. Just thought I'd update people if they missed all that news. But more interesting news. Let's cover the first one. How about the Broncos? Finally, they're letting Joe O talk to other clubs. And the first club who's put him on top of their list is our good old friend Anthony Griffin, who's back in the goddamn business and chasing our goddamn scrubs. I love you, Anthony.
it's like Panthers all over again. I mean, he should have been let to talk to other clubs about 17 DUIs ago, but, you know, we finally got here. It took a terrible year of 2020, but we're letting Joe talk to someone else now, so that's nice.
Yeah, mate, it's one of the funny things of the last few months. We spoke about it on this podcast, and it's like there's that weird arrogance in this club, and there was that weird arrogance of how they thought all they had to do is like keep the same group together, add Brodie Croft, and that was it. Like they signed everyone for a long time. They signed Seibold for a long time, and they've now admitted, like they Lockie admitted himself, that they weren't pressure testing contracts, and they will going forward. And yeah, one of the first contracts, if you went through our books, you review, one of the first ones that sticks out like dog's nuts is Joe O getting that money to be, you know, he's kind of getting outplayed by Reece Kennedy, who isn't any good. He's getting outplayed by Reece Kennedy right now. Like Joe O's on 500-600K, apparent origin player. We thought a couple of years ago he was a really good bench prop. He hasn't kicked on whatsoever. I'd love for him to get out the door tomorrow, you know, and hopefully he recaptures some form with the Dragons. I just don't want him to be our problem anymore. You know, we don't need him.
I'm just glad we decided to start pressure testing contracts with Dave Fifita, of all people. Like, we've been over this before, but like that's the one you start pressure testing on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And there was, as you mentioned, that I just quickly mentioned the Courier Mail started their like whatever part series on how the Broncos lost Fifita. And a lot of it already, part one is what Chris Gary said on this podcast. But essentially, the Broncos thought they had him. Fifita turned down better money at the start of the year from South, and he was working on his deal with Brisbane, and then that loss of trust, and he went anyway. But yeah, as you said, and also they actually did mention that one of the players who is currently at the Broncos said to go because you'd get a better coach than Seibold by leaving, which is interesting. But we know all these things already. It still hurts that that's when they're pressure testing. But if Joe O's off and Jack Bird's off, you know, and I don't think Brodie Croft will play for us again, especially like Peter Gentile said, even when we link to the next player we'll talk about, Peter Gentile said, oh, we've got, you know, Dearden and O'Sullivan and Milford and Tyson Gamble. Oh, and Brodie Croft. When Brodie Croft gets mentioned after Tyson Gamble as a half, not a great look. So we're starting to correct those mistakes. But Joe O is a huge mistake they have to correct for us to move forward next year.
It's just so disappointing. Like, I don't blame anyone for saying go to the Titans, you get a better coach than Seibold. But from my point of view, it's just so disappointing that Seibold himself was gone like 13 days after that.
Yeah.
Like, and they didn't, that's just a real ships in the night moment right there.
It does look like the club has learnt a lot the last 6 months. And they should. These are the things we knew already. And people were like, I don't want to sound like I'm the world's smartest man because I was wrong about plenty of these guys. I mean, I was wrong about, I thought Joe would be good for Christ's sake. But 2 years ago, a lot of the things that we were saying on this podcast have been proven right now. Like, they were up their own asses and all that kind of stuff. And it's tough that they're coming around, but at least they are finally coming around and understanding. And it does suck that maybe they sacked Seibold a month earlier. We probably still have Fifita. But they, you know, they didn't actually punt Pangai after that ridiculous, like, HR person brought up. And actually, what they've done to Pangai, which I've left off the news here, what they've done with Pangai is actually, I think it's good, like, they've set up a contract up in the sense that if he doesn't hit these five or six criteria, they can sack him next year. And okay, everyone knows I'm the biggest Pangai fan going around, but I do think he needs some pressure applied to him, and that is the pressure applied. I think that's great. So that's a good call. But Joe O missed the three DUIs. Like, they had three DUIs in the incident at the casino. They had like a way out of his
cards.
Contract. Yeah, they had a way out of his contract last year, and they didn't use it. And now they're trying to ship him to somebody else. It's like, you could have got off this for free.
Like, even Joe O was not anyone special ever.
No.
When we were talking him up and when we loved him, we were like,
he's the fourth best prop in our team.
We're like, he's the best bench prop in the comp. Like, he's the best. He was great for like half a year when everyone's already done all the hard work and he comes on after 30 minutes. That was like what he was good at in the comp. So, you know, you can find one of those anywhere.
He hasn't won a game this year, by the way. I know we've only won three games, but he was in none of them. He missed the Bulldogs win as well. But that in that Roosters game, like, I know we're all off him. And that was it. That period when he finally tried to play tough for the first time in years, gives away the possession, a dumb penalty, then misses a one-on-one tackle in front of the sticks. It's like, yep, get the fuck out. That might have been the day they called other clubs. Get the fuck out. And that's his biggest problem, mate. Like, Joe O, like, he is... It's a Wayne Bennett term, a social loafer. And that's what Joe O is. He's a social loafer. And he might be good that... He was good 2 years ago. He had a pretty good year. But our team was really good. I know, okay, history's gone down. We lost poorly in the finals. But again, we'll win off first that year. Our team was pretty good. He had a good year. But this year, when we've needed anything from him, he's a 100-game first grader on big money contract who's played Origin. And he played like this. Get out.
He's like... this is, well, NFL comparison, and also a bit different because Andy Dalton's a quarterback. But the thing they always said about him was, like, he's as good as the players around him. Mm-hmm. So if you surrounded Dalton with great players like they did in 15, he was an amazing quarterback, which obviously then really helped the team. He's like that, except he's like a third string bench prop. So you don't want that person to be like, oh yeah, he's only good if he's like in a great team.
Yeah. No, you don't.
And why do you want that guy around?
Yeah. And the Dragons are going to go take him and start him and rely on him. Like, they are really short a prop or two. They've chased James Tarmow as well. And I think Tarmow is going to be confirmed the Tigers over the coming days. So they're going to throw Joe there and he's going to start and play 60 minutes.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, like, people just be like, oh, Origin prop Joe O. And they're like, oh, he must be good because he plays Origin. Like, and he's going to get a contract based on that.
Mm.
Based on, remember we looked back like 3 years at the Origin props and we're like, we had this realization one day that Tim Glasby was going to be a prop for Queensland. And we're like,
yeah, that's, someone's going to pay him.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like, that's the side that Joe O got in there for a prop. Like, yeah, that's not a high bar, Joe.
He got in because he was like the only Queenslander who played in the middle who'd played over like 30 first grade games last year. But that was it, the last one left. And they still tried Jared Wallace before him. But anyway, like, that's it. You nailed it. Like, just go there on Origin prop reputation. But I saw someone tweet the other day, and it's a great example of, we probably should have stopped playing him like 10 weeks ago because, you know, like, it's better to think you're shit than have it confirmed. You know, better to be in it, yeah, thought of it than confirmed. Like, it's like when some clubs drop a player and everyone's like, man, why aren't they playing that guy? And another club signs him. And you go, oh, fuck.
That's why.
Like, we've got him there and everyone's like, oh, look how shit he's playing. Whereas if we didn't play him, other clubs would be like, hey, why are they playing that Origin forward? But somehow Griffin still wants him, which is great. And it's one of those classic Griffin cases of, oh, you know, I watched him at the Broncos. He didn't play an NRL game under Griffin at the Broncos. So he was there in the 20s when Griffin was here, but Griffin didn't play him because he didn't play any of those children. But love that to go. Anyway, next rumor we'll talk about. And this one, I don't know how much credence there is in it, but Chris Gary is putting it out there. Our good friend Chris, friend of the podcast now, Simo, you're on board too. he's put out there that Kieran Foran is both interested in coming to the Broncos and the Broncos are interested in him. And the quotes in public are only from Sam Ayoub, who is his manager. And he's talking, he called Foran a top three half this year when he was fit, and also said, everyone knows his body's in the best shape of his career.
His manager's, yeah, they are two factual statements.
Two facts. but he did say Brisbane were interested, but Chris Gary himself tried to confirm that Broncos have made some calls. 300K a year, personally, love it. I mean, it's the kind of thing, you know, Benny came on this podcast. Benny DTD would come on and say the same thing. It's a symptom of the problems at Brisbane. Again, that we probably should have signed someone like Foran 2 years ago. Now they're correcting that mistake now. But I like it. What about you, Simo? If it happened, I'm pro.
Yeah, this is like, he seems like the kind of person we would have said we want beside Milford for years ago.
Yes. And
like originally we would have said James Maloney as being that type of person. And he got old and is gone. And then we would have said Blake Green we wanted as like that type of person.
Yep.
And now it's just Kieran Foran, who's not as old as everyone thinks he is. But I also think he's probably, like, if you had all of them at like the respective times we wanted them, he'd probably be the third person I want. I would have preferred Blake Green a year or two ago. I would have preferred Maloney more a year or two before that. But in the end, I really don't mind it. Yeah, there's a bit of a gamble with your injuries. You just hoping he stays fit, but whatever, like, why not? 300K isn't that much. We saw how good DCE was. This has gone back a decade now, but those two worked really well together in that 2011 side.
Mm.
And then, like, DCE wasn't quite the same for a year or two after that. Like, he works well complementing other halves, Foran does, and I think him and Milford would work well.
Yeah.
Dearden in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I kind of want him as the backup. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's also cheap. Get rid of Croft.
Well, 300K isn't anything. I know people will sniff at that and go, you can't pay a backup half that, back that. I know there's backup halves in the comp who don't even play games that are on 250 or similar or more. Like, Sam Williams is probably on similar money to that, you know, at the Raiders, because, you know, when we especially when they have a guy like Milford who is now injury prone, if he's still at the club next year, it's perfect. You get 24 games out of these two combined.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you, mate. It's definitely too late. Like, they needed that experienced half after Hunt left. That's how long they needed that. And then they needed it again when Nikarima left. It was like, that was the opportunity again. And then they went and got Croft when they should have got, you know, Blake Green or Caesar. And this is probably too late to correct that mistake. But if it comes in and he comes in as a, you know, compete for a job capacity, you know, be the experienced mentor who doesn't play unless there's injury or similar. Kind of like Benji was supposed to be and then he left. I'm pro that. Not so pro it if it's to punt Milford in four and to play six. Because,
I think him and Dearden would probably work out all right, but I still want Milford in the six.
I still want Milford. I want a new coach to get his chance with Milford. I will willingly let it go if he has another shit year next year. I will stop dying on that island. If he has another shit year next year, I'll still support him where he goes to, you know? But I will understand that his Broncos career has to end if he has another shit year next year, you know?
No, I'm here setting up hammocks on Milford Island. I'm never leaving.
I'm not leaving the island. I'm just saying I'll accept it. Like, it's just like how I'll never leave Sean Johnson Island. And Warriors fans, a lot of them were done with him. It was dumb to get rid of him. They've been proven they should have kept him. But, you know, sometimes it just has to end. And I'll accept that if Milford has another bad year, it has to end. But not right now. I think he just needs another shot. And, you know, Dearden looks great right now. But, again, we all know how bad that team played this year, that it was pretty impossible for anyone to be in that six or seven and have a good season. Dearden is like, I'm in love with that kid, mate. It's weird because he's like, I don't feel so weird when I love the Islanders, if you get me. Like, you know, Fita looks 40. Dearden looks like a child.
Yeah, I mean, talking about Dearden this way might put you on a list somewhere. But
it might, but it's just, mate, I'm in love with him because he displays all those intangibles that you keep hearing. Everyone who rabbits on about the game and halves in the game, he displays those ones that don't really exist anymore. Like, he displays the intangibles of, like, when we're getting hammered, he's trying to win the fucking game. When we're down 30, he's still going to the line and getting whacked, and he's still trying to create points. And, like, even guys that, you know, you look at people called Mitch Moses, the best half on the comp at the start of the year. The moment Parra turned to shit, he turns to shit. But Dearden is, like, one of the very few left who still tries when his team's getting pummeled. So I'm in love with that. I'm in love with the fact that, like, down by 30 the Roosters, he'll still dummy and take the line on.
Yeah.
So I'm all in with it.
It is good. Like, and it's very hard. Often you don't see any half really playing well in a bad side, but he appears to be, every week I've been watching him so far. So it's good signs.
It is. So that's enough of that link. Also, may as well touch that in there. So the other rumour with that Joe O move is we'd swap him with Ben Hunt and then the Dragons would carry the rest of Hunt's salary. So we wouldn't pay any more to get Hunt back to send them Joe O. How do you feel about that one?
I mean, I'd love Ben Hunt back, but I never had a problem with Ben Hunt either. So,
yeah, I think that got lost on some people. I remember had someone send me a tweet saying, oh, you eat your own words or some shit if he comes back. It's like, no. I was only ever mad that one year when Hunt left, when everyone was acting like Hunt had changed. We were both mad at that. He didn't change.
And again, it wasn't even like mad at Ben Hunt. It was mad at like the media talking about Ben
Hunt. That's it.
Because they had no idea what they're talking about.
That's it. There's people who were caught, like when he was done a year early when he got sent to Ipswich, they were calling him finished, you know, all of a sudden acting like he went to the Dragons and changed as a player instantly. He was the same player he always was. And that's a flawed halfback, good hooker, but like that, he was the same guy. I hated that narrative, not Ben Hunt.
It was like we played them round one and he took the intercept try off Matt Lodge.
Yeah.
And then straight after the game, it's onto the Matty John show. And Matty John's is talking about what a great, you know, game controlling, kicking game half Ben Hunt has. And it's like, mate, have you seen this guy grubbers out the back dead ball line on third tackle in Origin? He's not out of a kicking game.
Yeah, I'd actually, maybe that's an exercise I'll do over the next couple of weeks. If we go back again and grab those goddamn articles from that month or two period when they were saying Broncos are going to regret this for 6 years, blah, blah, blah. Within a year, like everyone's like, how the fuck do Dragons have that contract? What are they going to do with that contract?
Yeah. People are stupid.
I'd love him back. I want him back as a hooker. That's what I want him back as. Like, if we can't get, obviously, I want Cam Smith. Obviously, I want Harry Grant or Brandon. That's not going to happen, really. But that's what I want Hunt back as a hooker. And then Turpin's a good player. He could be the 14. You can't trust him to stay fit. He reminds me of Jacob Little like Turpin does, in the sense that he's a spark when he's on the field, makes, he's a difference maker. But he's one of those guys that just playing hooker, he's injured a different way every 5 weeks. And I don't think we can rely on him being our starting hooker.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Hunt and you have him, you get one hooker between them. This isn't really Broncos related, but Brandon Smith, I don't like, someone's going to get him and make them their hooker. I just don't see it as like full-time first choice hooker for a team in the NRL every week.
I'm with you in that infatuation that people think he's a better hooker than he is footy player. It's like, and it's a deep, it sounds like a dumb thing to say, but he is a really good footy player. But it doesn't mean you're an amazing hooker, because you have to do all the other jobs of being a hooker, you know, steer the team around, lead a pack or whatever. And just because he's insane doesn't mean he's a great hooker, yeah, you know?
I just think he's like one, there's not many players, but there's a few players that have played over the time where you don't really give him a position. You just put him on the field and you're like, mate, wear like the number 12 and just go do what you want. And he's just going to go out there and he'll play hooker for a bit and he'll run around and he'll make stuff happen. But like, if you're the Storm and you're like, next year we need a starting hooker, Cam Smith for 1 year, Harry Grant or Brandon Smith, you're like, Harry Grant is the smart decision a million times out of a million. Brandon Smith should never be the starting hooker in that side long term.
Yeah, and I think that I actually said that a couple of years ago in here, but like, Harry Grant is like, they had earmarked him for ages. Everyone was talking about how Brandon Smith was going to overtake Cam Smith. So, you know, the Storm knew the one that was going to be the one taking Cam Smith's job, and it wasn't Brandon. But anyway, back on that topic, where were we? Ben Hunt. Oh, that's one thing I will say, though. What I like about, even if Foran doesn't happen, even if Hunt doesn't happen, what I like about this offseason already is we're talking about good players going to the Broncos.
That's a change.
What a shock, because we haven't fucking done that for a while. We talk like we haven't. Like, we weren't even linked to a single good player last year at all. And then the last, you know, in air quotes, good player we signed was Jack Bird, and that was a player that neither, like, we didn't think was that good in the first place. Like, four and yes towards the cliff. Hunt, not what he was, but at least they're bloody good footballers. Like, not going out there and talking to fucking Chad Townsend. Because that's what I was expecting totally. Because it looks like the Sharks have, like, they've got Connor Tracy and Braden Trindle, and they're probably, maybe they won't punt Chad yet. But I was already thinking, fuck, are we going to sign Chad Townsend? Are we going to, like, but that hasn't been linked yet. Like, we're looking at good footballers. Big difference. Well,
way to just put that out in the universe.
Yeah, look, I apologize to everyone who listens to this.
Let's go back to when you're like, the only half I don't want more than Cody Nikorima is Brody Croft, and look what happened.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank God I think he's done. Like, he's never going to play for us again. Thank God.
You know, we could still delete this and then it wouldn't actually go into the universe.
Yeah. Oh, here's one for you before we move on again, though. What do you think about Matt Lodge's future?
I still like, as a footballer, Matt Lodge. you talk to people and people want to dump like the 24 of this starting top 30 at this side.
Yeah.
And with the exception of Tom Dearden, not one person has looked good this year. So I think under a different coach, see how he goes then, like with some stability, new coach, see how it goes. Because I don't think, I still think that football is in there.
Yeah, like I'm of the opinion that we should obviously drop Joe O. And then the only way I'd ever drop Lodge, if it was at that long, that, you know, that link to Papali. I don't think there's anything in that. But if Papali was going to come, we have to get rid of Lodge in 3 seconds. I'd do it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not arguing that. Yeah,
that's it. Like, that's it. Like, we can't punt everyone. Like, there's, like, you just can't. And I, Lodge had a bad year. Like, man, no one will argue had a good year, but he had that, you know, kind of partial ACL injury. Never really got fully fit. Does look a little overweight for the new speed of the game. You know, those things can be fixed. He can drop 5 kilos next preseason.
Yeah. Dearden aside, not one person has looked great in this side.
Yeah, and I think there's something we've come to expect a bit. We've had some young forwards do really well at a young age. I think we've come to expect a bit too much of young forwards. Like, we're so used to them doing, like, you know, Fifita was great when he went first in. Pangai was good. Haas, amazing from when he started. Lodge been good since he got there. But we kind of forget that, like, Lodge is just 25 still. Not that many kilometres on his body. And, like, again, we mostly know props generally mature around their mid-20s. Not really young. Like, he's got good years ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yep. But, okay. What are we talking about next? Okay, next we will talk about the coaching candidates we're going to talk about before we go. A bit of the last game we'll talk about. But few things around the Traps. Good to see that it probably has no chance of happening. Great to see the club are talking to Craig Bellamy or trying to get Craig Bellamy with be the best move possible. You have to do it. You have to have a shot at the stumps. Obviously, that's great. But I'm starting to like the slow drumbeat of Wayne V3. That's what I'm starting to like. What about you?
You know I'm going to be in on Wayne the Third. It keeps me up at night thinking about happy times. Just, you know. Actually, I mean, this is going to be a bit depressing, but I was driving around work the other day, driving to a site. And like, you know how sometimes you're living your day and then you're like, my dog's going to die one day. And it just gets you real sad. And I was like, that's going to be Wayne Bennett one day. Like one day we're going to wake up and Wayne Bennett's not in this earth.
Yeah.
And on one hand, it's going to be really sad because obviously how much happiness he's brought us. But on the other hand, it'll be good because finally every single person in the media and on social media will like respect him for what he's won, because once he's dead, people are happy to do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't want that to happen. don't come to me.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about the latest pitch, and Carl Morris has kind of spoken about it. And that's funny, like all of a sudden he's going to hold the pocket, apparently. You know, Paul White's gone, going to say, you know, his prayers and that, you know, whatever, you know, tied up with Wayne. But the quote is, say, like a coaching director role, which is, it is quite funny that we're going to go back to like, this is what Wayne proposed to the club 2 years ago, to have this his last year and have Jason Demetriou as coach next year. But that's, I'd love to see that. Come coaching director and then stay at the club till he dies. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'll be down for that.
And we've already seen what the difference. I know it's a different role, but even at the Titans, like Mal Meninga, everyone's heard him talk about footy. He has no goddamn clue about, like, honestly, everyone's heard him on Fox. He doesn't keep that up with everything, all that kind of stuff. But already him being around the Titans gives them a little bit more of that draw and that cachet, and it gives them the opportunity. Like, Tino and Fifita don't go there if Mal's not there.
Josh Adokar.
Yeah, that one's not. That was a fan who did that.
Not happened yet.
No, it's not happening. A fan. That was a fake tweet. Okay. Don't worry, you're not the only person to fall for that.
No, I saw it for like 2 seconds, and then I checked that it wasn't Budu Inya's that, and it wasn't, and then I moved on with my day.
But that's it. Like, that's, it brings you that bit of that cachet, and it's a draw for more than just players. It's a draw for coaches and assistant coaches and for everything for the club. Like, that's what it was supposed to end like. So I'd love that. And Paul Kent thinks he thinks it's going to happen because of the drumbeat. He thinks it's like they're putting it out there to test the waters. So who knows? But at least, again, those are the good options. At least we're starting at the good options this time, working our way down.
I mean, it's better than just starting with Paul Green and then, like, there's just an announcement that you've signed him and you've not looked at anyone else.
Yes. Oh, no. They would have done the interviews with people who weren't going to get the job. Peter Jandl.
It's like the Rooney Rule in the NFL. You interview all the minorities that you don't want to hire, and then you hire the white guy you want at the end. Yeah.
That's it. They would have done that again. And that's it. The least, it's embarrassing that our club, the Broncos, could go through what they went through, but at least they've learned from how bad it went. That, yeah, what a shock to get a good coach. You put a good process in and you find him. You don't just hire
your
that
mate.
Bloke that, yeah, your mate seems that you got Isaac Moses there, told you he's good and he's, you know, in the papers as coach of the year, whatever, garbage. Yeah. And I know Wayne might be pro Kevy coming in, but if Kevy came in as head coach and Wayne was coaching director, you know that Wayne puppet hand is up that Kevin Bolter's ass.
I don't know. I saw that headline. I don't even know how much I believe that. Wayne fired Kevy like 38 times.
Yeah, he did like 3 times, eh?
Like, I don't know.
He's going to fire him in one more time.
He just wants to, he's won for every premiership that he won. Like, yeah. I don't know. It seemed an odd one for me. Like, obviously, Wayne Bennett's not going to have fired him that many times. He knows what he coaches like.
Yeah, and I think one of those things, I think he's obviously stuck up for Kevin Walters as a mate still or whatever in that role. But again, when he put himself in these shoes 3 years ago or so when he was supposed to hand over for the next Broncos coach, Jason Demetriou was the one he picked, not Kevin Walters, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll see. But that those are good. And then obviously both know Kevy and Paul Green are being, names being tossed around forever.
We talked about them the last episode heaps.
Yeah. And people thought we were really pro Paul Green. It's like, no, it was like, we just want him, like him a little more than Kevy. We're not really pro either of them, but
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably pro AIDS over cancer, but you know, yeah, like
one of the toughest things about Kevy, mate, is that even his best, biggest advocates, like even guys like Jonathan Thurston goes on TV and goes how much he loves Kevy, and even he can still say, oh yeah, but he needs good assistance. Like, it's not good that even the people backing him in are like, oh yeah, but he still needs someone else to coach for him.
He's just the bloke you want to get the boys hyped up to run through a brick wall.
Yeah.
And you don't want him to do anything else.
But he cried about, like, that's the one thing that's going to kill me. It's like, he cried about that Slater Boyd decision in Origin, dropping Boyd for Slater. Imagine what he's going to do, actually having to make tough weekly decisions at the Broncos. That was not a tough call, bringing Billy Slater back.
I mean, he also, like, complained in the press conference that their kickoff was too short at the start of the Origin game, and then they lost the game because of that. Like, I don't want this guy in charge of tactics at the Broncos for every week. His bench management is so poor also. It's worse than Siebes is usually.
Yeah.
I don't know how you've got all year to plan for three games and you can't even get your bench management right for them.
Yeah. But at least, like, the things I've heard, at least, like, again, I could probably get behind Kevy if it was, like, Wayne was coaching director and there was a good assistant and, you know, there was lots of off-field change. I could get behind it, but, you know, we'll see if that happens. I have heard a bit of interesting stuff as well about, like, they're trying to fix the football department, realise, like, Carl Morris said that too. He kind of realised, oh, what a shock. It's not just appoint a head coach and the rest figures itself out. You have to go and hire an actual good football department from start to front to back. It ain't just let the head coach pick all these buds.
There needs to be more, like, separation between church and state, essentially. Like, you got the business side, you business guys that do the business stuff. You just do your thing. Appoint good people for the other side and let them do their thing.
Yeah. Oh, how funny, by the way, through all this as well, how Paul White's trying to say, guys, please don't ruin my name.
Just thanks for the memories, guys. Remember the good times.
Yes.
Those good times that we scraped, like, the 8 on for and against in 2014 because of Ben Hunt.
Yeah, that's
it. Those good times.
Yeah, all the good times. But, like, no, you'll be remembered for what you did. And some of the stuff Carl Morris has said recently is his admission that Paul White's done the wrong thing. Like, because, as you said, the football department separation thing, you know, why Darren Lockyer and Paul White on the recruitment and retention committee? Why is a board member and the CEO on a football committee? If Mr. Paul White was apparently the business acumen man, what was he doing on that committee? As we know, that's there. But I do think Lockyer is actually facing an uphill fight to be working at the club still next year from having a few discussions myself. Like, heard a few things that club not exactly stoked with how he's been handling them himself on TV. Like, you know, again, maybe, but not only is he on the retention committee, the leadership consultant, he's on the goddamn board. And you can't go on TV, as much as I agree with it, and say they shouldn't sack Pangai. That's your board. You're on that board. You can't say that.
It's like what you said the other day. I don't mind him being around the club and having 8 role, but he's just got his fingers in too many pies.
Yeah.
And all the cocaine's starting to catch up to him probably. So, you know.
That's it. So what Allegedly. Carl Morris... That's it, yeah. So what did he say? He said, Carl did say the structure of the football department is up for discussion. And in terms of who selects those people, it's more prudent for the board and the CEO and coach to be on the same page. So, yeah, what a shock.
Lockie's going to re-select himself for the selection committee. I'm keen for, Lockie to just have as little as dangerous role as possible, really. But
and if they were in love with Kevin Walters, like the media keeps saying they are, Walters would have the job right now. That's one thing that if they were in love with him as, like, everyone thinks they were in, he would have that job. He is going to have to fight tooth and nail to get it. And they will. It's quite clear that they will hire a better candidate if they can find one.
If he doesn't get hired, we're just going to have everyone again telling us, all these people will be like, oh, Kevy is the man it should have been. Bring the Broncos back to the old days. But it's like, how many head coaching jobs does he have to apply for and not get before you just realize that he's not the guy? And, like, it's not like he's just applied for the Broncos. He's applied for, like, some absolute trash clubs. No offense to the Titans and Tigers, but and he's not got those. Like, at some point, I just realized, Buds, he's probably going to listen to this. Sorry, mate. Yeah. Didn't mean to bash your team.
That's it, though, mate. If the Titans didn't take him, why should we?
Exactly.
Just because he played for our club. And that's always the worst argument as well.
In the 90s.
Yeah, he won premierships 20 years ago. So, yeah, mate, but, like, that's 20 years ago.
Wayne Bennett also won premierships 20 years ago. Let's get him back.
No, that's it. It's like, yeah, it's 20 years ago and he was a player and like there was better players than him.
Yeah.
Should we hire like just anyone who was in that team? Like, is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, get Gordy Tullis back, make him the coach.
That's it. But at least Carl Morris seems to be learning on the job because Paul White didn't learn shit.
Yeah. And Paul White sacked Henjak his first day and it was just all downhill from there. That was his peak.
That was his peak. It was, mate. And then the way he's just begging on the way out. Like a couple of months ago, the media tried to talk him up like a contender for the NRL CEO job. And it's like, being CEO of the Broncos is so goddamn easy that like they would make money if you put my dead grandmother in charge. Okay? He's not some financial genius.
I mean, we literally saw, brings Wayne back. They make money depending how you play. So you put a good coach in charge, you win games, and you'd start printing money.
That's it, mate. That's how it works. I think what you're about to say then, bringing the Wayne back thing, that is the thing that annoys me the most always about that dumb salt the earth crap. And I'm quite happy that our fan base actually haven't accepted the Wayne excuse. They haven't taken that easy excuse and blamed Wayne for this. And it probably helps that our club's a bit more high profile. So like the CEO and the chairman and those guys, everyone knows those names at Brisbane.
Yeah, it's not just that Wayne's in charge.
That's it. But you just said it there, mate. Wayne came in and the club went better. It's every time he's gone to a club that's happened. And for some reason, when that club returns to its mean without Wayne, it's Wayne's fault. It's Wayne's fault that the team was worse without him rather than his credit. It's good when he's there. It's so weird that he's the only head coach that is judged on someone else's results. Always.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked this also like 80 times about with Wayne. And like people will say, he salted the earth when he was fighting to coach the year after. He wanted a 1-year contract extension for the year after that. And then he wanted to stay at the club being a coaching director until he died like the year after that. Why would you salt the earth when you're wanting to stay there and keep coaching? Like people just don't put any effort into their thoughts.
They don't. And it's just that it's that stupid Knights handbook that anybody with half a clue knows it was Tinkler's fault and they blame him for leaving the city because he wasn't getting paid. But like whatever, that's what the handbook that was written in. The Dragons mess again, the Dragons are right now what they were before Wayne, you know. Hiring Anthony Griffin is just the same old mediocre garbage I've always been. And South's been a good team for a while now. They have been, but they still somehow look like a contender this year despite, you know, they lost Sam Burgess without planning it. The Trolls now looks like he's out for the season. They still look like a goddamn contender. They still look better.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyway, let's not waste time on Wayne. Let's quickly talk about the last game against Penrith. The next game, then we'll do questions. But we'll just quickly talk about that. The last game against Penrith, I know we lost 25-12. But this is what you want to see from a team when they're losing game. Looks like a team that actually gave a fuck again, which has been the first time in a long time they gave a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, my only real note on this game was I thought it was the best game we played all year. I don't think we even played that great in the three games we won, but I think, especially considering the opposition, Penrith have been toweling up everyone except the Warriors that night. But we actually were in this game for a fair bit until we just got that dodgy call from the bunker on the challenge that we missed, and then just that's the only reason we lost, really.
Yeah, and that was a weird one because
The bunker ruled it the right way.
Yeah, but said it the wrong way.
Well, because I think he said it the right way, but then he got confused and because the ref was like, oh, so was it successful or not? And then he said, no, it was unsuccessful. And so then the on-field ref was like, okay, cool, Panthers ball. Like, super weird. But then also, like, the next day when challenging on the Titans game, they let them challenge after, like, a 38-minute tea break, so...
Yeah, I mean, who is to bunker the bunker? Who's the bunker's bunker?
Let me be the bunker's bunker. I've never made a wrong decision in my life, so... Yeah, I mean, I was pretty impressed with the game. I was happy with it.
Same, mate. Like, they were under the pump in that game, and that's the first game, again, as you said, even the start of the year, we've never been able to handle being under the pump the last 2 years. They were under the pump in this game. They conceded 25 points, but there's a couple of contentious points at the end there. got a couple unlucky calls. It was one of those games that they really felt genuinely in it the entire game. And they probably, if you ask me, probably win the game if Darius Boyd isn't the fullback.
Yeah, he was every time they put a kick through and was scoring points off it, not even in the shot, not even in the wide shot before they zoomed in. He is dead set the worst regular player I've seen play this game apart from Josh King. Like,
oh, mate, the way he's like legitimately taking the piss on the field.
Yeah, he's having a giggle.
And like,
if when I played AFL here in Rocky, if we had a player put in the effort like he does, he would get taken behind the clubhouse and get the crap beaten out of him. Like, no one would be putting up with that.
Yeah. And it does feel refreshing, though, that it's gone back to Darius Boyd being our biggest problem, because we had so many that him being a shit fullback is now a big problem number one again. That does feel refreshing.
We had so many problems that no one was even noticing how bad he was. Yeah. He was just skating by putting in a 3 out of 10 effort every week. And now he's back to putting in this effort.
Yeah, and he did celebrate like he won the goddamn Olympics again when he set up one try, but disappearing and all the other tries. But that's it. We'll show a pretty good effort across the park, and this is a team like those names on paper, not a very good team. And Peter Gentle said, and this is one of those things, like, he's not a first grade coach's backside, Peter Gentle, but I've liked him as the interim right now, because at least he looks like he understands the goddamn game and isn't an arrogant fool. Like, he did say when we lost to the Roosters, that there's no excuse for that. I don't care who you are. That was pathetic. As opposed to Seibold, who made a million excuses. And in this week, they responded. You know, it's a team of, you know, we started Kennar, Sean O'Sullivan, you know, Isaac Luke was in again. You had Kennedy starting, Ben Teo started on an edge. Like, not a great team. Joel Milne-Hopewadi played half the game. And they showed up against Penrith. That's what you expect from a team. Like, they put in.
Yeah, and minimum. I mean, like, that Penrith side's better than the Roosters side, I'd say. So
that towered us, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, from one week to the next was a huge improvement in performance. And, like, yeah, I'm just looking forward to see what we'll get. What, it's Titans, Eels, who haven't looked like the Eels they were at the start, and then Cowboys. I honestly wouldn't be shocked if we won two of these three.
Yeah.
I think that's doable.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is a chance there, but yeah, it's good to hear Gentle say that kind of stuff. Other thing positives from this game, Jordan Ricci's try. Should have passed, but who cares? Sick try. Had a good 48 minutes there. And it looks like Pangai's now staying, which is great. Don't know if he'll be middle or edge next year, but it's good to see that, like, there's Ricci there that, you know, maybe another preseason he might start, you know, as an edge back rower next year alongside either Glenn or Pangai, or come off the bench. But, you know, all hope's not lost with Fifita gone.
Just most hope.
Most hope, yeah. I mean, Fifita's got that. We all know that special talent. We're preaching to our own choir here, talking to ourselves about Fifita's talents. But, you know, I know it annoys some fans that he dances across field and similar. Often Fifita does, but he does that because it works for him. But it was kind of refreshing to see Ricky play the last few weeks, and he just runs direct lines, you know, and that's what he did when he got through there. And, that, you know, if you do that in the NRL, you'll have joy. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, you run over a halfback once a week doing that.
That's it, mate. So, yeah, I thought he was fantastic off the bench. And, you know, considering he's come back from significant injury, he's looked pretty good the last few weeks. Unfortunate he's suspended. But Alex Len's back this week. And, again, I usually wouldn't have cared if he was fit or not when we had Pangai Fifita on the edges. But him coming back now, he's a bit of a boost, because Teo, when we signed Teo, I liked that signing because I thought he'd play like three games. I thought he'd just play like three games and go into the ether and be a leader at training. But he's played every damn game and he's cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, pretty good. Oh, and we'll talk about, mate, Katoni Staggs. He is going to make me scream more than any Bronco player of the next year and the last year, both good and bad. Like, he does some amazing things with the ball in the hand, and those two fans on Aiken and Mansell are goddamn amazing. But when he ran behind Tom Dearden on that try, we can see it in this game. Like, there was nothing on, and he ran behind Tom Dearden like he was playing a game of tag and hiding behind a friend, and then they scored. It's like, Katoni, the fuck are you doing?
He just... Yeah, it's Katoni.
It is, mate. He's, you know, top three attacking centers in the competition, probably bottom three defensive.
This is why we need NFL style football, where we have a defensive side and an offensive side, because he is not great.
Yeah, hopefully this, you know, some time he'll you know, learn, and maybe again with that combination with everybody there's changed forever, but you can never excuse him running back inside an inside man for absolutely goddamn no reason. This week's game, I'm not going to bother doing the full-blown preview, whatever. This week's game, we have Alex Glenn back, Xavier Coates back and weirdly on the bench. I would love to see him start over Richie Kenner. But, you know, Sauna Sullivan's in the half still. Think it's a winnable game. I mean, over at the Titans, they made those, like, this is why I can't get fully in on Holbrook, because there's always weird changes. And I know there's injuries as well, but he's centre pairing this week's now at Bo Firma and Young Tom Opea. Hip grade's back in the team. Mitch Range, the hooker, he was there last week as well. But Sam Stone's on edge. Peachy's still playing lock. Like, this is a winnable game. They've been in better form than us. Brimson's carving the competition up. But, like, you know, we can beat them with the team we've got. You know, Ben Teo's benched as well, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, we need some, like, just classic Keegan Hipgrave stuff. That's what we need. Yeah. Just lose his mind. But I can definitely see us getting a win here. Like, play like we did last week, and I think we win pretty comfortably.
Yeah, you'd hope hope that bench changes, because I can't go Pakes, Teo, Coates, offhand Garway. I hope it goes like Coates starts, Kenner gets out of the side, and then Bullmore goes under the bench. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good.
I think it's winnable. Anyway, let's go on to questions. You got the questions there, Simo?
Yeah, I got here from Vince, who's on Facebook. He might be my favorite person. Mm-hmm. What's the actual chance Wayne Bennett could return to the Broncos? I wouldn't be against it. Never wanted him to leave in the first place.
It's preaching to the choir, mate. I don't know what the actual chances are, but the fact it's... I know it's easy attention and articles and similar. But yeah, I don't... like, Wayne hasn't totally shut it down, and he's done his best to say, oh, I'm not talking to them or whatever. But we all know Wayne says that for everything. Like, before he signed Roberts, he's like, oh, I've never spoken to James Roberts.
No, he hasn't. His manager speaks to James Roberts' manager.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, no, I've never spoken to him. So you haven't.
Yeah, and he's, oh, I'm happy at South. He says, like, mate, like, yeah, we know you'd come back. And one of the conditions of his return is, like, everyone else getting punted. Fantastic.
Yeah. And, I mean, we know his thoughts on car park. So we will also a condition to just be his own personal car park right outside Red Hill. So he can just park there and not have to walk down the street.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that car park with the person sitting in a wheelchair. That's his disabled car park, just right at the front.
And
surely there's a decent experienced half and a fullback we could buy from the Super League for next year. Not much available here.
I mean, Aiden Caesar's there, I mean, the fullbacks we sent there are like Gareth Widdop and Lachlan Coote. You don't want them back over here.
No, and I think Raiders got the one you do want from the, over there.
But like, yeah, we don't want like, you know, Zach Hardacre, Sam Tompkins, whatever. We don't want that fullback from over there. We do need a fullback. Like everyone, I think everybody around the place knows that, but I just don't see the one we can buy this offseason to fix that problem.
No, I'm still here on Jermaine Asako Island.
I'm with you, mate. That's my fullback round one next year.
Yep. From Cameron, whatever happened to Joel Clinton? One season he's playing for us, next season he's not, and no one made a big deal out of it. I never found out. Also, who's impressed you in the NBA bubble and who's winning it all?
I mean, what happened to Joel Clinton? He went to Hull. He played 2 years for us. We shipped him off.
That's why no one ever heard about it, because no one hears about half these guys that goes to England.
Yeah, and then he played Queensland Cup after that, and then that was it. But I don't know what he does now. I couldn't care less. He's another sign of the dark. I know this happened in Wayne's last year, but he still reminds me of the dark post-Wayne times, because, again, it was one of those signings that just wasn't a very good Broncos signing.
Any NBA takes?
Yeah, well, I've been watching it pretty much every day on the old second screen or on the TV when working. And, I mean, I've maintained for ages that I think the Lakers are doing it. Like, old man LeBron still doing it. I don't know what drug he's got. But it's not a drug. It's not a drug. It's not like HGA. People joke HGA. So it's not a drug anyone knows about yet. He's got some rich man drug that's not banned yet or something. Because I don't know what the hell he's doing, how his defense is still getting better. But yeah, that's it. They've impressed me. Obviously, Milwaukee's failings are probably going to cost Bud his job there, as they should. Miami's been impressive. Everyone knows that. But
boy, Jimmy Butler.
But I love watching the Nuggets game just because, like, you know, Jokic, ridiculous passer for a fat man out of shape. And I like Michael Porter Jr. I like Gary Harris, even though he's been injured. Jamal Murray stepping up, that's been good. But definitely think it's the Lakers to lose. I don't know who's going to play them out of the East. Like, I know the Boston are up against the Raptors and Miami are now resting to play their next team, but I honestly don't know who's the best team out of those three. So,
the East still just, like, terrible. I've, like, not watched NBA forever, but I just always know the East is terrible except for, like, one team.
Now, the East was always terrible because of the LeBron fear. Players didn't sign there, and I know people would think I'm a LeBron fan saying that. I am. It's like the moment LeBron left, you know, a lot of other players went to the East and weren't previously there. You do think maybe Boston go there, but it feels like the West Conference Finals, which is likely Clippers-Lakers, feels like that's the finals, and then that team will go and win 4-1 or 4-2 in the actual finals.
I mean, it often seemed that, like, the West Conference Finals was, like, the better game sometimes, like... People always say I'm a LeBron fan because I like stand up for him. I'm just a fan of modern sports science, and he is like he is the pinnacle of a modern athlete. Really, the things he can do, and for this long, and for like basically playing an extra like 30 games a season with all your playoff games or whatever every year.
He's gonna break every record bar the most championships. But even the guy they think's the GOAT doesn't own that record, so it's like he just have all the other ones, and they won't count.
Yeah, you know me. I'm always a big fan of modern sports science over anything that happened in the 90s or Donald Bradman back in the Depression era. But yeah,
the only one I ever get behind of all the GOAT arguments is I can get behind the Bradman one because he's such an outlier. But I've never watched him play. That's all I can get. But the other guys aren't outliers. Jordan isn't an outlier.
The only one I'm the same with Bradman. I can hear arguments for Bradman over others. Because that sport has changed. So, like, you go back 50 years, they're still playing basketball on a hardwood floor and the rim's still at the same spot. You take cricket back to the 20s, they're playing on an absolute, like, pigsty of a pitch with no padding. Like, blokes were strapping, like, stakes to their ribs and stuff to help protect, like, from the cricket ball during the body line. Mm. So, the game did change. Like, look at the bats they played with back then. Like, you get... 12-year-olds have bigger bats than what Don Bradman batted with. So I'm happy enough to hear arguments for Bradman, but also in the end, I think if you teleport Steve Smith back in time, he's averaging 400 against those farmers back then.
Yeah. But that's it. I can listen to that one because of what you just said, mate. But yeah, other guys on outliers. But it's been a good playoff series so far, and it's just been refreshing. The whole sport year's been thrown off because of Corona, as we all know, and my calendar's all fucked up. Everyone's calendar's all fucked up. The basketball's not supposed to be on now, but I'm glad it is on because, like, you know, I've fallen out of love with the EPL even though Liverpool finally won it. Like, that's about to start again soon. I couldn't give a shit. Basketball's on at the right time. I'm not staying up for 3 a.m. to watch it. It's on when I wake up. It's great.
Yeah. Righto. Well, that was a long one. So from Lockie, what are your thoughts on the game against the Titans this week with Lexi and X back? We should hopefully get over the top of them. Kind of covered that.
Mm-hmm.
From Liam, with the Knights rumored to bring in 2018 Coach of the Year Seabold in some role, how long before they sign Brody Croft? Oh man, that'd be so juicy.
And they need a 6-2.
Oh man, I'd love it. I would love it so much. But surely Seabs isn't that dumb. We'll yell about Boyd and Croft and everything else, but like surely when it comes to it, if he got at a different club, he would be like, I'm not touching anybody that I had at the Broncos, you know, like.
I don't think anyone want him to go with him either, but yeah.
Brody Croft would. Remember when he's like, who's with me in the dressing room, and Brody Croft was the only one with Darius that stood up for him.
Yeah. And then Darius wasn't with him much longer.
No. Yeah, I would love that. So would Twitter with all the deleted tweets from Knights fans. It would free up some server space.
Yeah, I don't know if Seabold will go there. Maybe he will, but I know Fern is likely leaving for family reasons, so who knows?
From Scotty, give us some good ammo for the See It's Not Seabold's Fault group. Also, how good is Seabold gone? Seabold's gone on a scale of Seabold's coaching to Wayne Bennett.
Wait, so is there a group of people who don't think it's Seabold's fault? Are they Broncos fans?
We
all know he's not the number one problem with what's happened the last 2 years, but the coach is responsible for the results on the field and they weren't fucking there.
And look at, like, they're not wins, but played better against the Roosters than we had the rest of the season, and we played better again against the Panthers. So, you know.
That's it. And there's way more injuries now, and they're already down in the dumps. Yeah.
From Dale, he said, please apologize for suggesting Green.
That's not our suggestion. If he wasn't linked to the Broncos, we would never bring his name up as an option.
From Bluey, are we going to find out what incriminating photos Boyd has of the coaching staff? As this can only explain why he continually gets picked for the side.
No, he's getting picked now because it's the retirement tour, and it's like, there's no point in dropping him. Even though we all want to drop him, it's like, it's the retirement tour. He's got 3 games left. They're going to let him play. He could start throwing the ball over the dead ball line every time he touches it this week, and he'd still be there next week.
From Daniel, I made a case bet with a mate on the Bronx finishing top 8 next year. Am I delusional or is this the easiest slab I'll ever earn?
Oh, wait, next year.
Next year.
I think
that's an easy slab.
So do I.
Like, get your mate to cash that in already.
Like, I know that people will laugh us at thinking that who aren't Broncos fans, but yes, you bring that team back fully fit. You bring in 2 or 3 decent recruits and you bring in a new coach. That's top 8 squad.
We've said this a lot. Bad teams make the 8.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have, like, what, a year ago we made the 8 losing more games than we won. You don't have to be good to make the 8.
The Sharks are not good. They're going to make the 8 this year. They haven't beat a top 8 team. They're not good.
From Cameron, F. Mary Kill, Bennett, Bellamy, Payton.
I mean, Payton got the job at the Cowboys, and I'm upset by that because for a moment there, it looked like they were going to go and make a terrible decision. But Payton's been so good at the Warriors, they went and got him. But it's...
I mean, well...
It's a hard one because he's the kill. Anyway.
He's the kill because of the other two. And I'm marrying Bennett because I'm going to love that man until the day I die.
That's it.
So Bellamy's left over in the middle there.
Yeah, we only want a few years of Craig.
Yeah, just a short fling. I don't want, like, he's an angry man. I don't want him around the house all the time.
But yeah, Payton was a good, I believe he's a very good get for the Cowboys, and that upsets me.
Jaden asks if I'm getting Mario 3D All-Stars, and I didn't even know that was a game, so probably not.
Mario,
but I might look into it.
Don't tell me you've missed some great game being named, do you? Oh, I think. What is it? Oh, yeah, Super Mario 3D also. I think Bungard sent this to me the other day. I don't play Switch, so. Is it just a bunch of old Mario games? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll get that. Yeah, I do. I love the 3D Mario games. Super Mario 64 was one of the first games, the first game I ever really played.
Yeah.
Such a great game, so.
So is it just, it looks like it's the original graphics still too. So literally all they're doing is repackaging them. Like, this is it. We always laugh and we at Madden and EA with FIFA and Madden repeating the same thing every year. We're just now bringing back the same fucking games and they're making squillions. Like,
I mean, I don't care. I'll play them.
I don't care either, but it's just like, it's just so easy.
Yeah. But people pay for nostalgia. Like,
they do.
But that's why, like, I've always said, like, you got the virtual console on Switch and that. I've not checked it for a bit. It was bigger on the Wii U and that, but they literally should just repackage every old game they have and push it out on a virtual console. Like, I'd buy so many of the old games. Like,
Yeah. Well, we're that perfect age group now. Like, we're the age group with money, with disposable income.
Yeah.
So nostalgia is our nostalgia. You know, just like when we're younger, it was someone else's nostalgia. A lot of 70s and 80s culture when we're younger. Now it's our nostalgia right now. So yeah, like, time zones back, for Christ's sake. Time zones won't—they'll die again in 10 years because that's not a money-making model, the arcade. But they'll die again. But they're back because people like us go to them, and yeah, bringing back like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, this kind of stuff. These are back, and bringing back all those movie reboots—that's our nostalgia. It's our time, baby.
Yeah.
Now, one thing of nostalgia we could use: a Broncos fucking premiership.
Wayne Bennett.
Wayne Bennett as well. Bring back.
From David, I was riding my bike through Daisy Hill Forest Trails when I came across Corey Parker running up and down the steepest hills with Pango Jr. Is Corey the new coach for the Broncos or just torturing the bloke for his recent indiscretions?
So, well, gotta, Yeah.
He's got a photo here of the two of them too, I think. Yeah.
Was that on Facebook?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. I'll have a look. But, well, so Corey was on like the coaching staff, like a forwards coach or something. But he had to choose like Fox or the Broncos for his bubble. And obviously Fox probably paid more. So I guess now that Pango's out the bubble, he can work out with Corey. Pretty simple. Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe Corey, he had to choose a mentor. Maybe Corey's his mentor he chose.
Ah, okay.
Which is good. It's two fuckwits teaming up. And it's okay. I'm okay with Pango being a dick. I'm all in on it.
Okay. There's a couple more comments here. Okay. They are lost in the middle somewhere.
Oh, no.
Why does Facebook have to order them this way? Suggest a summer job from Nick. Suggest a summer job for TPJ. Surely nothing that requires a brain.
A summer job for TPJ. Well, he's not allowed on the computer pretty much. So what can he do? Like, I know what Jake Friend did, the coffee job. Other guys have done, gone and been tradies. It'll probably be a trade, mate. That's always a threat, like, to make him learn what it's like to work really hard and appreciate rugby. He'll probably, like, they're not going to let him go be an accountant. They're letting him go sit in an office. Like,
you remember the old NRMA ad where they're like,
yes.
Oh, where's Corey? Oh, he's down rebooting the server. And he's like, oh, no. He's like putting the boot in.
So they'll probably make him do a trade. Go be a roof tiler or something. Something terrible to do in Queensland for a few months, and that'll make him appreciate it.
Hang out with Dave Taylor. Just be down to Gracemere pub. Did I ever tell you that story about Dave?
No.
We had, we're all just sitting around at Touch of Footy once before the game, just talking. And then, like, we get on talking about Dave Taylor because that's a lot of our conversation around here is just Dave Taylor sightings. Mm. And one of my mates went out to the Gracemere pub just for like a palmy. And he walks in, and Dave Taylor's sitting at the counter. And he said the whole time he was eating there, Dave Taylor just sat there, didn't move. And he was ordering jugs of beer and just drinking them straight out of the jug, like it was a regular glass for you and me. Like, just downing it straight out of the jug. And he said both, like, he left an hour and a half later or whatever, and Dave Taylor was still there just sinking jugs.
Well, that's because he's a goddamn hero.
Yeah, like, oh, what a man. Over on the Twitter then, Thunder Night FB, I didn't realize this was still a thing. Would like to register my excitement at Hook being at yet another club, Joe's exit, and the highly unlikely return of Ben Hunt.
Yeah, well, this is it. You know, you talk about sometimes how everyone says there's no other head coaches out there. It's like, well, this is that classic recycling the same old garbage. Like, you're signing an Anthony Griffin or Nathan Brown. You've set the bar pretty low of what your best outcome can be. Those clubs have done that. But I like Griffin being back there. But I'm good to see that some other Broncos fans pro Hunt, because a lot of people seem to be, like, burnt by the experience and don't want him back.
I was chatting to, in a group chat, a big Dragons fan, Matty McPhee, and we're talking about Hook, obviously, because I posted some exciting things in the group chat when it first got announced and felt a bit bad after. But, and he's like the thing he said is, like, everyone knows he's an average coach, but it's not like you even hired him because he's a great bloke. Like, he's a worse human than he is a coach. So, like, why are you hiring this guy?
Yeah, that's it.
He's all around terrible, terrible decision.
And they hired him. I read some of the quotes, articles why they hired him, and he's already doing the things that I hate. Like, he was on 360 saying the squad shit. He's got to make moves. So that's the Brown move, mate. But
classic.
They're talking, oh, he's going to bring in what he brought in at Penrith. Wait, are you saying that Anthony Griffin is responsible for Penrith having a lot of juniors? Like, they were there before him and after him. Like, whatever, idiots.
Never_trendy_ Broncos 13 plus from Corey Goats. NFL season about to start. What are your tips and who's winning the Dynasty League?
The Dynasty League, again, this is the podcast for 12 people when we talk about that, but
yeah.
Anyone but Danny is winning, so it could be
I'm
me.
Taking the field. I'm gonna have to mute the group chat if Danny wins, like, forever. I'm just gonna have to log out of that. But anyone else would be all right.
Yeah, I'm backing me, and there's a good chance. I'm just, as the season got closer, my team has got better.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you win this season, that's like just even playing with house money before this season even starts, because your real window is opening next season on.
first round picks and what's I got? Four first round picks and like 4 seconds next year.
I think so. Something like that. It's all right. I got Patty Mahomes signed for longer than the Chiefs, so
you do. Only 2 first round picks next year. I traded a few away, but 2 seconds next year. I got 4 firsts the next 2 years. Good.
Corey Goetz again. Is the only joy in the Broncos world right now a Stags fend? Remember when Seabold played him on the other side?
God, I forgot about that. But yeah, look, the joy watching the game, like those little moments, at least this year, there's been a couple of those because there was not, I know we made the 8 last year, but there was not many of those moments. Like we've had the Fifita try, the Milford try, 2 Stags fans. We've got a few moments this year at least.
Damn it, Twitter's reloading. From Duncan, 8 numbers. Should we go after Foran on a minimum contract, be a good mentor for young Dearden? Kind of covered that. DW mate,
on a minimum, like, fuck yeah, if it's the minimum, even better. Yeah,
I'd take a minimum, but I'd also take 300K.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I'd even like 500K. There's way worse players on 500K around the league.
Yeah, at our club.
Like, I wouldn't even complain about that. DW Kingston. Have we seen the darkest days for the Broncos? If so, what are the steps to recovery?
Oh, mate, 100% see the darkest days. We've already got the most losses we've had in the season. And it's like a shortened season and it's still not over. But this is by far, it is below the floor. This is the basement for the Brisbane franchise, the Broncos. The way forward, mate, like, I think it's pretty obvious for anybody, right? Like, the right head coaching signing, a hire, and to stop just like, the way they just thought they could just sign their whole team they had on lots of money to just win was the dumbest strategy of any team. Like, nobody just wins with what they have. It doesn't work like that. People might look at Penrith and say, oh, they brought all that through too. Not the same. It doesn't work like that. They still have to bring in from the outside too. Like, whatever.
RCG Kennedy, is there a salary cap on football department spend on coaches? If there is, would Seeb's payout affect that for upcoming years?
There is, and yes, but we're the only team, I think it was us and the Bulldogs that even got close to it, and the cap's pretty much only in place to stop us going too far. So, yeah, it affected, but I don't think it affects it that much. I think that's part of the benefit, like, why they paid him out to get rid of him as well, is, like, so you don't have to carry that on the coach's cap for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, if he accepts the $1 million payout, then you're paying him a lot less.
Yeah.
You can get it over with quick. Speaking of the devil, Danny Boy, 1995 here. Stags running at Furmore. Does he score 2, 3, or 4 tries?
Mate, might be 6 tries between them.
Yeah. Adrian _ Stavely. This season has been an effing disaster. What is your 1-17 team list for next season?
So far away.
Joey is GOAT. If the Broncos moved on Anthony Milford and brought in Ben Hunt, who would be the most upset, Mitch Simo or Darren Lockyer?
Oh, well, Lockyer'd be furious.
No, Lockyer would be happy because then anything that went wrong at the club, he just can blame Ben Hunt straight up.
Yeah.
From RCG Kennedy, how happy did Mitch get when he read Hook wants to sign Joey?
Joe, I was stoked, mate. Like, I wasn't happy when if Griffin went to a club I despised, I would have been stoked that he got on the job. I don't actually dislike the Dragons. Like, I never have had a bad feeling for them. I guess it probably helps that Wayne went there as well. But even in my childhood, I never really had angst for the Dragons. So that didn't make me happy. But if he's going to take away, you know, Joe, you know, maybe Jack Bird homecoming, you know, ball playing lock Jack Bird, why don't you try that out? You know, if you're going to do those things for us, I'll love him.
Damo _Hags. Who is the player Broncos need to sign right now to bring back that big dick energy to this terrible team?
Wait, what did you say? Sorry, I said again. I read something.
Who's the player the Broncos have to sign right now to bring back the big dick energy to this team?
Big dick energy. Ah.
Papali.
Yeah, I was just thinking, but I'm trying to think of like likely ones. I don't know. I don't know if we need it brought back. Like, that team has swagger. It just needs to be unleashed again. Like, you know, Katoni Stags is waiting to over-celebrate every try.
Yeah, like the one you want for that kind of thing is literally like TPJ. Like if he was at a different club and off contract, you'd be like, that's the guy. We already have him.
We do. But you know, if we, the solid signings I do want out of all the ones, like, you know, Tohu Harris is unhappy at the Warriors. I'd really want that signing because not only could he play on an edge next year and take Glenn's job, but he can play in the middle as well. And he's been pretty good there for the Warriors. Like, we don't really need that many forwards. People keep linking us lots of forwards, but if I had to get a player who was readily available this offseason, that's be the one I get. But I don't, like, we really need, and it's, there isn't one easily available. Fullbacks don't grow on trees. Every player thinks they are one. None of them actually are. We need a fullback bad, but I just don't know. As you said, I don't know if it's Jermaine. Wait for Jermaine. See what happens there with New and Tessie New and Reece Walsh. Or make a run at someone next offseason. I just, that big energy would be bringing a fullback in. That's one of those big name ones. We're not going to get any of those guys. Yeah, we're not going to get that though.
From Nehemiah 9, if Walters or Green is coach, is the franchise will be effectively paused? Do you agree?
No. No. It would be a decline from when Wayne was there. It is not a pause because we're at the fucking pits.
Yeah, I think like, if it had been after Wayne, it wouldn't have even been a pause. It would have been like a backtrack. But we've just fallen so far that it would be an improvement on where we currently are.
Yeah.
Last one here from Andrew RLP. A top 10 list of coaches with NRL experience that would have been worse than Seibold. Let's see if you can do it without including anyone who coached Balmain, Magpies or West Tigers.
Why would I do that?
I've got a list here from Benny DTD if... depending how many you can like name.
Oh, I'm trying, am I? I actually have to do this on the spot.
Yeah, so yeah, you
coaches
try.
That would be worse than
Seibold.
Steve Georgiales. He's doing a terrible job as a fill-in right now, and he's been bad in the past as well. Who was that guy at South very early on? Did he say I couldn't name South?
No, Balmain Magpies or West Tigers.
Oh, so not his club. I can do it. Is it Paul Langmack was there? He was terrible, Paul Langmack.
You're missing some absolute sitters here.
Arthur Katinas. Well, they have to have had a coaching experience, right?
Yeah, I'll go through Benny's list.
Don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. No, give me an opportunity. you're taking that away from me.
You're missing some sitters.
you're just talking over me now, like I talk over you. It's not your turn. Oh, well, I mean, God. Yeah, okay, sitters. Nathan Brown.
Yep.
Like, God damn, why did I get there? Okay. Doyle agendas we're going to think last year. Nathan Brown, Garth Brennan.
Yep.
Andrew McFadden.
Yep.
I don't think Henjack's worse. I just don't. I know he was terrible. I just don't. I don't think... Who else the last couple of years? Spoon last year. No, the last few Spoons are all Brownie and Brennan. Rick Stone.
Yep.
How about Brian Smith at his current age? Because he's goddamn insane. I don't know. That's like seven. That'll do for me. I'm not putting Kearney in there either, by the way. I don't think Kearney would have done worse.
Well, so this is what Benny's got here. Nathan Brown, Rick Stone, Andrew McFadden, Trent Barrett, Ivan Henjak, Garth Brennan, Dean Pay, Brian McLennan, Brad Fittler, and Steve Kearney.
Yeah, there's a few of those ones there.
Fittler definitely needs to be on the list.
Yeah, how did I not put... Yeah, Freddie's an Origin coach. He's done okay there, but how did I not put... I should have said Brown first. That was
Fittler dumb. Was terrible at the Roosters, though.
He was.
Dean Pay is like... already just been forgotten by everybody like 2 weeks out of the job.
Yeah, not great.
Right, that was it.
Okay, sweet. Good. We're good here then.
Yeah, right. Catch up.
Okay, that's it. So we'll see you guys sometime between the next 7 days to the next 28.
14 days.
You're ambitious. We'll see you then. But thanks for listening, guys. And hopefully we... I don't think we're getting the spoon. Just that book. I know the Bulldogs have a pretty limping Manly team this week, but they lost the games they could have won. And then we're getting it. I'd like to confirm we're not getting it by beating the Titans this week.
I mean, looking how we played last week, I think we're a better side than the Bulldogs again. I think we've got 3 winnable games, and I don't think they have. They got 2 definitely non-winnable games, and I don't think they can beat Manly either.
Like they've gone worse without Pay, which is like, when I saw their team was this week, it's like, oh, you're doing this again. You're doing DWZ at the centers again. You've got Remus Smith in the centers again with like whatever. Just like, yeah, okay. You're gonna lose. Yeah. Okay, well, see you later, guys.
Right, see ya.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.